Hallelujah. You got some great servants here. I want to thank all of you for your friendship. I'm just going to put these in my book here. Hallelujah. Thanks for coming out to the ice cream social. Praise the Lord. That was good, wasn't it? I'd never been there before, so hey, you know. But how many knows ice cream's good? Sometimes God gives us ice cream, doesn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. But he also gives us the meat of the word, and we need it. That our bones grow strong. Amen. We're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, I hope you're happy to be in God's place today. Amen. The sanctuary of God, where the presence of God dwells. He dwells in you, and I know you brought him. But how many know? Sometimes when we come together, there's a corporate anointing. Amen. I know that you brought your share, and I brought mine. Hallelujah. And when we worship God together, he comes, doesn't he? He comes in the glory. And even in the Old Testament, it said the glory of God filled the house. And the ministers couldn't stand to minister. How many are looking for that day? Amen. We're pressing for the glory of God. The fullness of the glory I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just a touch. We've all had that. If you've been born again, I hope you know you've been touched by God. Amen. We've been drawn by him. And it's all about him. We think we saved ourselves, but we didn't. He saved us a long time ago. He paid the price. But how many know each of us has to make a decision in our own heart? Amen. We all have to decide. Jesus, you're going to be my Lord. Jesus, I'm going to serve you. Hallelujah. Well, what does that got to do with your message, brother? Absolutely nothing. But it was good anyway. Amen. If we get off on any rabbit trails, just go along with me, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. We'll start there today. Well, if I can find it here. Hallelujah. Romans 8. Let's pray for a moment and we'll get started here. Let me get this out of my way. Well, I thought you wrote those out. I did. I got enough to last till midnight if you want. Father, we just worship you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of God, that it will come forth, Lord, as you desire, as you see fit, that you would feed our spirits today, feed our minds today, that we'd be renewed in the spirit of our mind, Lord, that we would hear the truth, and the truth will make us free. For your word is settled forever in heaven for all eternity. We need not fear because we have the truth of your word and we hold it dear, Father. We hold it dear, Lord. We hold your word as truth to our heart, for it is a stable anchor in these last days, Father. When the world has gone crazy, Father, we hold fast to your word, and we know that it is a truth that we can hold on to, and we can help us, Lord, to continue to serve you and endure to the end, because it's sure, it's stable, it's steadfast, and it cannot fail. So we thank you for your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you believe that. Because he said his word settled forever. It's not going to change, is it? It's full of power. Hallelujah. It's sharper than the two-edged sword. It's going to divide asunder between what is spirit, what is flesh, what's of your soul. Hallelujah. How many know if it's not in the Bible, we really don't have any right to believe. Amen. Should be in the Bible, the things that we believe. And the truth of the word of God. And we have also something else that comes along with the word of God. And that's the Holy Spirit, don't we? The Bible says he'll guide and lead us into all truth. All truth. Hallelujah. We have a teacher. We have someone to come alongside. He said he's going to come and help you. Didn't Jesus say it's needful? He said, I must. It's expedient. I'm going away. Where are you going, Jesus? They didn't even know. Bill asked, where are you going? I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can come also. Well, Lord, we don't know the way. He said, I am the way. Where was he going? He was going to the cross so that you and I can know the Father just like Jesus knew the Father. See, he was the only one alive in the earth. His spirit was the only one that was alive to God. You say, well, why was he the only one alive to God? Because he was born of the Virgin. He did not have the taint of the blood, the DNA of Adam. He had the DNA of God on the inside of him. So he was not born in spiritual death as we were. Yet he lived amongst us and lived that perfect life, that sinless life, because we needed a redeemer. Amen. Because all of man, the Bible says through that man, death reigned through Adam, but through Christ, all are made alive. Amen. Through that, we had the redemption. And that's back in Romans 5, but we're getting Romans 8 here in just a second. Hallelujah. Start there. And that nature that we receive, see, when we receive Christ, we received a new nature. We went from death to life. We went from the power of darkness to the power of God. Darkness was ruling on the inside of every human. There was no light in the earth until Christ came. Because Adam lost it. He lost the glory of God. I think sometimes we don't realize the depths from which Adam fell. Adam, man. Adam and Eve. They fell from the very glory of God. Can you imagine that? Living in the glory of God. You're clothed with the glory of God. You're walking with God in the cool of the day. Every day he comes down and walks with you. You're walking with God. And their sin separated them from God, didn't it? It didn't cause an immediate physical death, but there was a spiritual death that took place. And that spiritual death says, hey, that was a spiritual death that separated them from God and ultimately became a physical death in the human body. But see, when they got born again, just like you and I, they got born again. I mean, when they lost their salvation, excuse me, they kind of went backwards. They lost the glory of God. I believe they still remembered some of those things. They still knew God. They still remembered how good God is. See, and they kind of went down into the depths. You know, they realize, hey, sin has come in. Now I know good and evil. I mean, if it's not so, think about Cain. He killed Abel, but he knew this. He says, now, hey, man's going to be after me, but I know God will help me. Lord, Lord, do something for me. He said, yeah, I'll put a mark on you so they don't kill you. Okay? So otherwise, man's going to kill me. Amen. See, God's merciful. God's good. And he sent us someone to help us, and it's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. He gave us the great Holy Spirit to be our teacher and to be our guide, to take us into all truth. And that truth you receive from him comes through that human spirit, because that spirit becomes alive to God. And now, because you were born again, because you received the life of God, now you have the capacity to be taught by him. Before that, you have a deaf nature. How can I know him? I'm lost. I'm in darkness. But now you're in light. Amen? Because Jesus was the first light. He came, as we'd said, came born of the Virgin. He was the only light. But he came to be the light of men. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, with that light that we receive, we begin to understand who God is, who we are, and how we can once again walk with God in all his glory and all his power. We can walk with him. Jesus walked with him. He walked 30 years sin free because he had that nature on the inside of him. He wasn't doing the miracles. He wasn't doing all those things, but he walked sin free by that new nature alone. So somebody gets born again, you can begin to walk with God, and you can walk free of condemnation, free of sin, free of fear, free of torment, free of sickness. You can walk with him. That begins, of course, when we're born again. But how many know you're not full grown when you were born again with God? There's things that Jesus had to learn. It says he learned obedience. He learned obedience. He knew certain things because he was alive to the Father and he could teach through him. 12 years old, we saw him at the temple, right? He's amazing. All the great Pharisees and the great teachers of the law, He was amazing them. Why? Because he says, I'm taught by God. I'm alive to God. He could teach them. He understood things that they didn't know. But he had to learn them. He still had to learn them. As a child, he grew up in the Jewish home. I mean, Joseph, his father, I'm sure he learned just like all the other boys. They had to memorize, you know, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They're getting that in them. He's learning those things. But he realized, hey, I am him. The revelation came. I am this Messiah. This is my Father who sent me. Yes, born of a woman, born under the law, but he came to redeem man because man needed a redemption. Lost, without hope, without God in the world, dead. So dead he can't know God. Not in his own mind he can't. So it's impossible. But through Christ we can know him. Amen. And we can know enough to receive him. And so God moves in and we begin to walk with him. I believe that's part of my call. I love to talk about walking with him. I've had a lot of great experiences with him. The reason is because God wants your life to be full. He really does. He wants us to know him. He wants to know the fullness of his joy, the fullness of his kindness, the fullness of his love. And all those are great things, but also the fullness of how holy he is. The fear of God. You know, and that's not a fear in approaching him. We should be able to approach him boldly by the blood. By the blood. Because of the sacrifice, we can come boldly to the throne. But there's a fear of God, a reverential fear that we walk in. Because he is holy, because he is righteous, because he is God. See, Jesus, the God-man, fully God, but yet he had that human body. The Bible says God made a body for him, didn't he? He made that body to place that man in. Because Jesus, God's plan was to redeem man from the beginning. From the beginning, he said, before the foundation of the world. Christ was slain. Now that's kind of hard to understand sometimes. We're like, well, how could that be? Because God in his foreknowledge knew. Amen. He knows his man. But yet he loved man. He didn't want to lose man. Even though man chose the wrong way, he said, I want to redeem man. Because God had a weakness. You're it. He's in love with you. He's in love with mankind. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to share his heart with you. He wants to share his love with you. He wants to share his kindness with you. As much as a child, it's much like having a child. You know, you got that baby. You want to love that child. You care for that child. You nurture that child. And you want him to grow up and be a mature man or woman. Amen. Someone that's successful. Someone that will walk with God. Someone that will produce what God had called them to produce in the earth. Each and every one has a call of God on their life and we can find it. And we can walk in it. Say, well, I don't know what my call is. I have no idea. I don't know what God would want me to do. What should I do, Pastor Doug? What should I do? What could help me walk with him? I'm so glad you asked. That was a good question, sister. What can we do? How are we going to continue to walk with him? Jesus said in John, let's go there. I know I'm in Romans 8. We'll get there eventually. Hallelujah. Let's see which scripture that is. Let's go to John 14 for a minute. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me put this next to me. That's here. Let's see. Let's look at let's start at verse 16. He said, and I will pray the Father, John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you half your life. Three quarters, amen. No, all the way, amen, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, that's what I said, cannot receive. If someone's of the world, have they been born again? Do they know Jesus? No, they don't. It's impossible. They cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So the Comforter is the one that Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going to leave you guys, but I'm going to send a Comforter. He said, where are you going? I'm going back to the Father. I've got to present the blood before the Father, which cries out mercy for mankind. Amen. But I'm sending someone. I'm sending a person. He said, I'm not sending an angel. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'm sending the third person of the Godhead, the great Holy Spirit, the one that hovered over the earth waiting for God to speak that he may create. And how many knows, if you receive the Holy Spirit and you begin to create, he gave you a language that comes with him called the empowerment of praying in other tongues. It's a power that comes on the inside of you. And how many know, when you begin to speak, you're giving God permission to create a pathway before you as you walk with him, that you can discover everything he's called you to do. And he will empower you to do that along the way. Amen. Hallelujah. What a great Savior. What a great plan. Only God could think of it. You see, he kind of took us out of there because praying in tongues doesn't originate with us, does it? Who does it originate with? God. Amen. He gives the power. He gives the language. We pray it out through our spirit. We're actually doing the praying, yes. You know, we're giving him the voice anyway. And he is giving the words to pray. Now, if that's Jesus and the Father are listening, and you're here praying, and the Holy Spirit's praying through you. Now you got God praying for you to God Almighty. Is that a prayer to be answered? How many think that's a prayer to be answered? See, you can't mess that up. Some people think they can, but they can't. You can't mess that prayer up. He's going to pray for you exactly what you need. And the Holy Spirit, I love this, he knows where you are or where you are not in the plan of God for your life, and he knows how to get you there. So what do I have to do? Receive him. Receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray in other tongues. Because when we begin to pray in other tongues, we're going to see here in just a second, we're praying out the very mind and plan of God for our life. So, well, I know that, Pastor Doug. I've been knowing that. That's really good, but are we doing that? Are we taking time every day, or on a regular basis at least, spending that time praying in other tongues, believing and knowing that God is working a plan out when we don't feel it, when it doesn't look like it, when it looks like everything's going the other way? Well, I don't understand, Lord. You sent me to Africa, now I'm in Canada. What's going on? He says, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I want mankind. I want them to know me. I want people empowered with the power of God and the glory of God and the Holy Ghost that can demonstrate my power that all men may see. And there's no question that Jesus is Lord. That's what he wants. Not just for Pastor Doug, for you. This isn't just for Pastor Doug. It's not just for the preacher, or the teacher, or the evangelist, or the apostle, or the prophet. It's for you. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer today? Hallelujah. Amen. You're a believer. See the sister back here. I don't know people that she knows. Amen. Or the people that you know. God wants to reach all of them. Amen. He's got a plan. I don't work the same place you do. I don't see the same people you do. Hallelujah. But how about this? Oh, man, I was in Stolen Pool the other day. You know that guy is blind? Ah, I got good news for you, sir. Can I pray for you? Be all right. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And you already know why. Because I've been spending time with the teacher, the Holy Spirit. I've been spending time with the Word of God. My faith is rising, and I know in whom I believed, and I am confident. Let me take your hand, brother. Pray for you. Blind see. Whew. Just like that. His eyes open up. Boom. You're late. Oh, I got to go see you. How many know he might want to hear about you, Jesus? See, when we bring the fullness of God. See, really, we've talked about, oh, we're full gospel people. We are. But do I really have the right, you know, to shake the dust off my feet unless I show you the fullness of who he is? Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus said, yeah, well, if they don't receive you, well, they already came with power. They saw the miracles. It doesn't make somebody necessarily believe. People still reject it sometimes, but it sure opens your heart, opens your eyes. I had an experience with a guy. I had been to the church. I'd been praying. And, well, I went to church that Sunday. And I just came home from church. I really wasn't a big deal, but I come home and this guy's moving. They were moving from the apartment above. I lived in an apartment. There's this guy standing there and he's holding his hand like this. Is there something wrong with your hand? So I think I broke my thumb. I'm pretty sure. You know, and there's this other guy. He's loading the truck. And I said, just a minute. I'll be right back. And I went inside, just set my things down that I had in my hand and came out. And I says, place your hand right there. Just lay it on there. Just put your hand there. I said, Father, the same life that's in Christ is in me in Jesus' name. I thank you for healing him. And I didn't tell him to do it. It was that quick. All of a sudden he takes it and he starts moving his thumb. He says, it doesn't hurt. It's really healed. But then you know what happened? His heart began to pour out. He said, I know I need to get back to God. I've been through a terrible divorce. And he started telling the story. And I'm like, I didn't ask for all that. You know, but now what are we going to do? I had another guy. And we were praying for him. See, it opened the heart to where they see you as Jesus to them. Not that they're going to worship you because you're telling them, hey, it's God, it's Jesus. But I had another guy, we were just out sharing Jesus. So I got a knee pain, he says, yeah, I'd like prayer, you know, pray for him. Boom. All the pain leaves, he's fine. So, oh man, that's good. Begin to open his heart. Now sometimes you may not have the answer. And he says, my real issue is my 13-year-old daughter got raped at the bus stop. And I'm broken. I don't know how to fix it. Can you pray with me? Yes, we'll pray with you. You see, the real issue comes out. And God's all about miracles, but what he really wants is the heart of man. He wants our heart. See, well, I'm not sure I know how to give my heart to him. I agree with you. There's a lot of things I don't know. And that's why I say, Lord, I thank you for my helper, the Holy Spirit, because he knows where I am and where I'm not in the plan of God for my life. And he knows how to get me there. And he knows how to pray the perfect mind of the Father out for your life, for your call. Well, I don't know if I'm called to preach. I know I'm not, you know, but what could it be? Well, maybe you're called to pray. And to prepare the way. And to knock out the works of the enemy. How many know we're in a battle? There is an enemy. The devil does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's two things he fights big. Number one is a consistent prayer life. And number two is aggressive evangelism. He fights those the most. Now he'll fight everybody, even the unsaved. He don't want them to get saved. Amen. But now you got saved. Now he's trying to neutralize you. He wants you to quit. Oh, you won't serve God. Kind of like Job, you know, he got all these things happen to him. Oh, you know, his wife helped him out big. Curse God and die, sir. Oh, I think you should, Job. Look what's happened to you. God didn't bring it on him. I mean, you know, we have an enemy. Bible says every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father of lights. There's no shadow of turning. He's not bringing the evil. That's the devil. And you have authority over him. and you have power over him. He said, I've given you all authority over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. I had this professor, teacher anyway. He was one of our Bible school teachers, and I was in this class, and he said, I want you to be a Luke 10:19 Christian. Hallelujah. Said, I give you all power. And he'd get his fly swatter out and he'd hit that pulpit every time. That's the first scripture, every class. He said, that's what I want you to be. If you go to the mission field, I want you to be a Luke 10:19 missionary. If you pastor a church, I want you to be a Luke 10:19 pastor. Whatever it is God calls you to do. If you're a prayer warrior, be a Luke 10:19 prayer warrior. Defeat the devil. And don't quit till you win. Glory to God. I don't know what I'm going on today, but I must eat some gunpowder. Hallelujah. I feel good. But he's faithful. God's word is true. It cannot lie and it must happen. But we have a job. Our job is to yield to him. Now, how are we going to give our life to him? This is what the Holy Spirit taught me. Let's go to Romans 8 for a minute. I want to read that scripture because I don't want us to be. He said, well, how do I know I'm praying the perfect will of God? Because of what the Bible says. Amen. Verse 20, let's just go right on down here. Let's start at 23. Let's start at 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth or groans and travails in pain together until now. How many know and believe the earth is groaning right now? You see more earthquakes, more tornadoes, more catastrophes, floods, you name it. It's groaning. Why? Because it's under a curse. It wants to be redeemed. It says that not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, we groan with ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The earth's going to also be redeemed. It's groaning for that, for its redemption. Hallelujah. For we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? In other words, he's saying we've got a hope in the resurrection and the full redemption of our body coming. But right now, we're saved by grace through faith with the hope of eternal redemption of our body. We're groaning for the fullness. Amen. Verse 25, but if we hope for what we see not, then we with patience, we're waiting for it. So all he's talking about here, you just say, hey, we're waiting for the full redemption. The earth's going to be redeemed. Mankind's going to get his new body. Those that are born again, right? We're going to receive the fullness of that. Hallelujah. Our last thing we overcome is going to be death, right? Death will be no more. But verse 26 says here, he sends the Holy Spirit. He said, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. Now that's maybe in the King James, that's what it says. Maybe it says weaknesses in your Bible or whatever. But infirmities is not talking about sickness and disease. Sometimes we think of the infirmary, you know. No. It's a inability, if you look that up, to produce the result that you want because we're limited in this flesh body. This flesh is limiting me. Why? Because I'm on the earth. I live in a fallen world and things are trying to limit me. Everything from the outside, and then we have things that we have wrongly learned that limit us on the inside. The fear, the torments. You know, so anybody ever had fear in your life? I had fear in my life till I was 28 years old. I received it when I was 5 years old. Well, how do you know that? The Holy Ghost said so. Said, when you're 5 years old, this fear moved in. You've had it since you're 5 years old. It's trying to dictate to your life. But at 28 years old, before that, I didn't even realize it's in my life. If you had asked me, you got any fear in your life? Absolutely not. No, I am fearless. I'm not afraid of anybody or anything. But fear was still controlling me. And I'm telling you, the day I got set free, took me 2 years to beat that out of my life with the Word of God. And sometimes you just got to do some things afraid. Amen. Why? Because I am not going to let fear rule me. It doesn't mean you don't feel fear. You may feel it, but you don't let it rule you. But I had a fear of failure, a fear of authority, fear that I'm not going to make it. But I didn't even realize it in my own self. I thought, no, I'm not that way. But the Holy Ghost made it so clear. But I get hold of the Word of God. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Greater is He. I am of God, little child, little son. Douglas, you're of God. Hallelujah. And greater is He. The greater one lives in me. God lives in me. The Holy Ghost is in me. Because I received Him, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. And I will not fear. For what can man do unto me? The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. I'm telling you it is. But God took me through, at least it was about right about 2 year walk. When I realized that, and I said, oh man. I mean, I do stupid stuff. Stupid. Like, for instance, I'll give you an instance. My boss has asked me, did you water the plants in the greenhouse? I was so afraid of being wrong, you know, not pleasing him. Oh yeah, I did it. Then I'd run over and water it real quick, you know, get all watered. And I was that dumb. Why didn't I just say, no, I hadn't watered it yet. I'll get to it. You know what God started making me do if I lied? You go tell them. Well, I might get fired. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you do it a few times, you won't lie no more. God doesn't like lying. God dealt with me quite strongly. God does not lend himself to a lie. Not only that, I'm deceiving myself. Who do I think I am? It was really a pride in me. I want your acceptance. I want you to like me, and I want you to accept me and approve me. My Father has approved you. God has accepted you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ephesians 1 real quick. Glory to God. I love this verse. I'm telling you, He has accepted you. He's already accepted you. You don't have to walk in that fear. You don't have to be bound by torment or your own way. Hallelujah. You can walk with Him. All right. Let's look at verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, what, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. How many know He knew you in your mother's womb? Amen. Glory to God. That must mean you were alive. Amen. You weren't just a blob. God already knew you. Wow. What a revelation. You know what? You know more than some of the smartest people in the world. Glory to God. Amen. Why? Because I listened to God. See there, you knew that, didn't you? Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blameless before Him in love. Now here we go. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption, that just means predetermined. He decided He wants to adopt mankind. He said, if you receive Jesus, I take you as my own daughter, my own son, my own child. Amen. He said, He already decided that. He said, I'm going to do that through Christ. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ. To Himself. He wanted you. God says, I want you. Okay? I want you. According to the good pleasure of His will. He said, it is my pleasure. It is the good pleasure of my will to adopt you to myself. To make you my own, very own child. Now here we go. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made you accepted in the Beloved. Now I don't want to hear anybody say, you may not feel accepted. I didn't feel accepted, but but I was accepted by my Father. When I began to realize that, I didn't have to please man. I'm pleasing God. And I know that's what I thought I was doing anyway and trying to do and was doing mostly. But I still had that lurkingness on the inside. How many know you got an internal dialogue going on sometimes? Amen? You know, it's all on the inside. And how many know when that greater one moves in, see, fear begin to move out. When the greater one moves in, sin begins to move out. When the greater one moves in, he comes in and he helps you root out everything that's not of him. Everything. You said, well, I don't know everything that's not of him. I know you don't. We think we do sometimes. You know, and all the big sins usually aren't all that big, you know. They're just the ones you see. You know. Oh man, I know that guy. Man, he's bound to smoking. He's bound to drinking. And all those are true. But what about the one that's on the inside that says, Lord, I want to exalt myself above the throne. I'm going to exalt myself. I want to try to be somebody in me, in myself. I know you called me to preach, God. I'm going to preach. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I was 21 years old, decided to quit my job. Where are you going? I'm going to the world. God called me to preach the gospel. Oh, glory, you know. What are you going to preach? I don't know yet, but I'm going. Glory to God. At least I was convinced I was called. Hallelujah. That's about it, you know. And I mean, you know, what was it? It was out of a frustration because I didn't know what I needed to know. I didn't know who I had in me. I wasn't letting the Holy Ghost pray that perfect plan out so that it could come to pass in my life. But I found out I can have a Holy Spirit encounter and I can receive Him with power and with fire. And I can pray out the plan and I can find His purpose for my life if I'll be willing to lay down my life. See, He said, if you lose your own life, your own plan, your own purpose and pick up the purpose of God, the plan of God for you. Hallelujah. He knows what you're called to. Maybe you're called to be a nurse. We need nurses in the world. Amen. I watched a nurse. She felt called to be a nurse when she was 6 years old. I said, really? I wouldn't even think about anything I wanted to be. Well, maybe a little bit, but you know, nothing serious, you know. Actually, I did have one thing. I wanted to be a strawberry farmer because I like strawberries. You know, I went out to the garden, you picked those ripe ones, and for whatever reason, I remember telling my mother, I want to be a strawberry farmer, Mama. These are good, you know. Isn't that amazing how we think we got the plan for our life, amen? But God knows. He has the plan, and He knows how to get it across to you, because that is a prayer to be answered. And everybody says, well, I know, but I get so bored when I'm praying in tongues. And it's kind of boring because 1 Corinthians 14, what does it say? It's not for the edification of our mind, but for the building up of our spiritual part of us, the part of us that's alive to God. And it's a prayer that's going to be answered. And you say, well, how is it answered? It's answered in the form of understanding, revelation. We begin to see God's purpose and His plan and where He wants us. Maybe you don't know what church you're supposed to go to. Maybe, you know, I mean, I'm a pastor. I got to decide a lot of things. Well, Lord, what denomination you want me in? Do you know how many denominations there are? Hallelujah. But thank God, when I was a teenager, I was about a senior in high school, and I was dating this girl a little bit. Don't listen, honey. No, I was kidding. That's my wife. She sends her love anyway. But anyway, I was dating this girl and we were dating and she invited me because we didn't want to go to our, you know, the school dance, you know, all the secular music and all this. We just didn't want to get into that. And so they had one at their church for all the young people. It was really nice. Had steak dinner and all that. And she invited me to go to that. But I remember as I was dating her, I'll tell you the other thing she said. She was the pastor's daughter, by the way, in this particular denomination. And I just knew in my heart, I said, well, I got to tell you, you know, I'm not going to be this denomination my whole life. But I didn't know what I was going to be. I really didn't. But I knew on the inside, God's spirit was communicating with our spirit. It was a knowing on the inside. I know. And it's not that I didn't really like her. I really liked her. You know, when you're 18 years old or 17, woo, man. You know, she liked me and I liked her. She was really nice. Her parents had been missionaries to Africa and everything. You know, we talked a little bit and she was trying to get me to move on a little faster, but I finally caught on. We did go to it and she was really nice and she's a really nice lady, but you know, a nice girl and we had a good time, but that was, you know, we really didn't continue to date because I don't think she wanted somebody outside of her denomination or, you know, her father's the pastor, you know. And so I just let it go. You know, sometimes we have to let that go. I had to let it go. So, you know, we parted for, we're friendly. We were friends. We're not friendly now because I don't really know where she is. But, well, I do know. I know where she lives kind of. We don't really communicate anymore. I mean, I don't believe in looking up old girlfriends once I got married, you know. I don't think that's a popular thing to do with God, you know. I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't befriend or say, hey, hi, if you see him and all that, but, you know, you don't want to light any old flames, amen. Is that right, Terry? Am I getting good now? Are we preaching good now? All right, let me know if I'm preaching bad. He's laughing. Maybe he contacted his old girlfriend. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it can't happen. I mean, I know people that their, you know, their ex-wife is best friends with their present wife because of God. You know, that's okay. You know, I'm not saying it's wrong. But for me, I don't think we need to be looking up old flames. Amen. You go back to your high school reunion or whatever reunion, your college or whatever it is. Say hi and be cordial, but don't try to light any new flames, any old flames. Amen. If you're married, you know. Glory, I don't know why I got on that, but anyway. But we were in 1 Corinthians 14. We were saying, hey, it's not for our mind, but for our heart or spirit. Let's go down here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if he pray, verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So it's not really for my understanding, but my spirit is praying by, you know, the understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. How many know? He said, I will. Paul's saying, I will. That means he can will it. See, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you become the steward of that gift. Some people don't believe that, but you can pray in it anytime you want to, as much as you want to, as long as you want to. Why? He's always on. He's always ready to help you. He's always ready to pray for you. He's always ready to get you into the place that he's called you unto. Whether it be for today, whether it be for the future, whether it be for way in the future, he knows all. He's come to be our teacher. He's come to be our helper. He's come to be our guide, to root out everything from the inside, to reveal it to us that we may root it out of our life. Okay? Really, he comes as the revealer of truth. And then when we take that truth, we can allow that truth to be replaced. See, the lie to be replaced with the truth. And when we accept God's truth, we're really free. I tell you, when I got rid of that fear, it felt like in my flesh, to my emotions, it felt almost like I got born again. I mean, I was on cloud 9. And I was up there for about 2 weeks, and then the Lord spoke to me. He said, and this is really what happened. He said, just because you don't feel it, son, doesn't mean it's not there. Because what happens is we then begin to get used to that new place in God, see? And it doesn't feel so euphoric, but I'm still there. And then at that point, it's like the Lord kind of let me kind of wane down and, you know, so I'm a little bit more normal and not so, you know, a little more down to earth. I wouldn't say down to earth, but it was not as euphoric. It didn't have that. I wasn't living my life on feeling. That's what he's saying. Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not happening. Amen. But I didn't finish over here in Romans, I don't think. I don't think I read that second verse. We got to 26, didn't we? Yeah. So he's helping us in our infirmities. I kind of got caught up on that. Our inability to produce the result, the limitations of our flesh, and the things within our flesh that, you know, we need to root out. He reveals, amen? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Why can't they be uttered? Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. But he begins to utter for us, amen? The mind of Christ, because 27 says, and he that searches the hearts, the Holy Spirit, he's searching the hearts. He knows what's the mind of the Father. He knows the plan of God. Anybody ever have a mind to do something? Or you've heard it. Maybe you're your grandfather, your mother, the farmer. Hey, I got a mind to build a fence over there. You know, you're making a plan. You have a plan. God's plan knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Everybody say, I've got the greater one in me. I've got the helper in me. He is my standby. He is my advocate, my lawyer. He's going to guide me into all truth. He's my teacher. Hallelujah. I'm going to spend some time with him. Amen. How about you? When we begin to spend, how do you spend time with him? By praying in the Holy Ghost. See, what the Holy Spirit told me is this. Because I really want to give my life to him. And I mentioned this earlier. And you probably thought I forgot, but I didn't. I'm going to end with this right here. I began praying in the Spirit. I decided to go to this day of prayer. They're having all day prayer, 6 a.m., 6 p.m. And actually, I didn't know, but I guess it started the night before because I went into this church. And, I mean, there's people with they had pillows and blankets and some of them had little mats and all this and they're laying around. I said, you know, I'm just kind of looking, I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, what is this? You know, you know, and some of them were praying quietly and some of them were sleeping, and you know, I guess they got tired and went to sleep. The disciples did that, didn't they? How many is a disciple of the Lord? You ever pray and fall asleep? Anybody? You know, I did that once. You know, we were having all night prayer, and I was determined I'm going to stay awake, but I'd been busy that day, and I was up really late the night before, and it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had dozed off, and I'm sitting against the wall, and I dozed off, and one of the guys comes over, and they kick me in the foot. I jump up, you know, like I was. They all knew I was asleep, but I'm pretending I'm not, you know. The only one deceived in the situation is you. They're all laughing just like you guys are. But anyway, what the Holy Spirit said to me, I begin to pray. I may have been there. I thought, well, I guess they'll start in a little while, you know, so I'll just sit back here and pray because I got there a little early because I was so excited. I'm going to spend time with you, Lord. I'm coming to put my time in with God, which is real important. But God began to speak to me. He said, son, I prayed about maybe 45 minutes. And I'm like, wow, he's talking to me already, you know. He says, I'm not interested in your time. I said, what do you mean, Lord? That's what I came here for, to give my, you know, pray and put my prayer time in. And he said, I'm interested in your life. He said, it's not that I'm not interested in this time that you're putting in. He wants me to do that. But I'm not interested in just that time. I'm interested in your life. And then the Lord gave me the big whammy. He said, son, when you're praying in the tongues, you're giving your life to me. You're giving the control to me. You're giving your life over to me to let me have my way. So today I want us to remember, to say, hey, Lord, yeah, I've been praying, but have I really been praying in tongues that much? Sometimes we think we're praying more than we are. So I began to log, you know. I don't want to show you my log because, you know, I wasn't praying near what I thought I was. So I began to up that and begin to make it more. Because sometimes we think we're doing that, but we hadn't logged. When are you going to pray tomorrow? What time? Where are you going to pray? See, if we don't plan it, pretty soon our day is going to be gone. It happens. And then pretty soon it was 2 days or three. And yeah, I prayed a little bit while I was going around, but I hadn't really planned, Lord. You know, but when we plan it, when we set it out, put it on the calendar. All right, at 9 o'clock or whatever time it is, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to pray. From 6 to 7, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Where am I going to pray? I'm going to pray in my bedroom. Okay. Or wherever it is, or in your easy chair. Well, maybe not in your easy chair. I know what happens in the easy chair. Amen? No. But it's okay. You know, if you fall asleep with God. I've fallen asleep before and had dreams from the Lord. It's like, wow, He's good. Amen. You know? So it's not about condemnation, but it's about walking with Him. But make that consistent time. Become consistent. You know, if you set an hour a day, that's what Jesus said to the disciples. Could you not tarry with me for an hour? Couldn't you stick an hour out, you know? But then as you spend that hour, you begin to realize the value, and He begins to draw you. You say, maybe I'll pray an hour and a half. Ah, maybe I'll pray two. Ah, maybe I'm going to pray four or six. Hallelujah. Why? Because that hunger for Him begins to develop and to grow, and He draws you. And it's a relationship that is so awesome. You just want to be with Him. So I guess when we worship God here, we worship this morning, His presence comes, and you just, oh man, maybe I had a hard week. Whew, that feels good, Lord. He just knows how to rub you the right way, I'm telling you. He knows where your feathers were ruffled. He knows it all, hallelujah. He just takes you, begins to stroke you, love on you. Amen. How many know His presence, His glory? That's where we want to go. And there's only one person I know that knows the way for sure. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen.